Hello, listeners. Welcome to our summer series spectacular. If you're fans of any of these podcasts, then you know we've been releasing some special episodes over on our Patreon. And unfortunately, we have not gotten the response that we had hoped. So we have discontinued our Patreons for now, but would like these episodes to be enjoyed by a larger audience. I want to start by apologizing to the people who did pay a few dollars to get these exclusive episodes when they were exclusive. Your generosity and support is still very appreciated, and hopefully in the future we will offer some more exclusive episodes over there and see if we can't get a few more supporters to join you over on that special feed. But until then, we're going to be releasing these special episodes right here, right now, and all summer long. On the Time Pop feed, we have some what we call time travel-ish movies. Things that are kind of, you know, maybe time-altering, mind-bending, reality-fuckery kinds of movies that I think you will enjoy on this main feed, even if they don't fall directly into our time travel purview. I may or may not have used that word properly. Whatever. For our Thank the Light audience, because there's only so much Wheel of Time content out there. Over there on the Patreon, we were experimenting with some other fantasy movies. So hopefully you're just a fan of Justin, Jeremy, and Desmond talking about stuff. So we're going to have some fantasy film discussions on the Thank the Light feed. And on the Movies R Us feed, apologies. We're going to take a little bit of a break from official Movies R Us releases just because we got really busy. You know, we knew this summer was going to be a little bit busy. We were doing our best to get caught up. And Desmond is moving. Justin is probably going to be moving. And Jeremy doesn't want to do the podcast by himself. So we're going to, again, hopefully you're just fans of us and what we talk about. And even if it is not an official toy-related product, hopefully you will enjoy us talking about some fantasy movies over there as well, just because our voices are beautiful. I hope you enjoy these special episodes. If you're only subscribing to Time Pop, why don't you subscribe to Movies R Us and or Thank the Light so you can get some other exclusive movie content. If you just like to hear us talking about films, it's going to be a great summer. We will definitely be back with new content. We have some very exciting things we're going to put into motion for Thank the Light. Movies R Us is just going to be back in full effect later this summer. We're liking what we're doing over there. We have a lot of fun movies to talk about. And if you're a Time Pop fan and you like listening to Scott and I just talk about weird, mind-bending movies, let us know at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. If you're enjoying this, us expanding our definition of Time Pop movies, and we may put more of these types of movies on this feed in the future. If you're a Movies R Us fan, just let us know when we get back to our official Movies R Us. Let us know some movies you want us to move to the top of our list. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. And if you're a Thank the Light fan, Wheel of Time fan, as you know, the show is getting put off. So we're trying to figure out the best way to discuss the books. Again, we've got some exciting things that we're going to do there to try to hype up those book discussions as we wait for more Wheel of Time episodes to get back to Amazon Prime. And if you enjoy listening to us talk about fantasy movies, maybe we can squeeze one of these in here and there just to spice it up as we wait for Rafe Judikins to get those episodes out to us. And whatever feed you're listening to, send us a message. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, because these shows are nothing without you. So if, you know, we're not going to listen to all your suggestions, but if you want to sheepdog us in a direction that makes us more fun to listen to and maybe bring more people into the fold, we would love to hear from you. ThankTheLight@gmail.com, TimePopPod@gmail.com, MoviesRUsPod@gmail.com. That is movies, the letter R, us, pod@gmail.com. Enjoy.
Check, check. Sibilance. Sibyl Ants. There it is.
Yeah.
Get it. Get it.
Sablansky. Sablonsky. Sybil Shepherd.
You had me at Sybil Shepherd.
In this bag, I have $1 million. In this bag, I have either another $1 million or dog shit. Which one do you want? So everyone, that aside, I mean, obviously that's why we're talking about this on Patreon, because I'm going to spend all of my Patreon dollars on a new house, because we're just rolling in that Patreon dough.
Yeah, I get it.
Making that getting our Patreon.
All right, let's do it.
Are you ready to get your Patreon? You know what else is super cheap, Scott?
Dreamscape.
The deal you get from our Patreon. $3. All these episodes. All right. I don't have to sell you people anymore on it, because you've already bought in. Thank you, loyal Patreon subscribers. And thank you. You know, we've been talking about how we need to skew newer. We need to get some newer movies in here. And like, you know, I think people, you know, every movie from the 80s, there's 10 podcasts about. But you know what we don't get when we watch new movies is gems like Dreamscape. This.
Or as I like to call it, the poor man's Inception.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's start by talking. So we watched Inception 1984. Oh, my God. Oh,
Dreamscape, not Inception.
What?
I just incepted that into your mind.
Dude, this script was incepted.
Dreamscape.
1984. Rated R, I guess so. God, remember in 84 when they were just making R movies?
Wait, wasn't this was R? I thought this was like the first to be PG-13.
No, we've had this conversation 1,000 times. We know what the first PG-13 movie is, Scott.
Oh, that's right.
What is it?
This is the second one, I thought. The first PG-13 movie is, oh man, crap. Didn't we just talk about
this? I actually can never remember which way it goes. It's one of these movies was rated PG and they're like, that is not okay for 8-year-old. And so the first movie that came out was, so I don't remember which order, but it's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and Red Dawn. And I don't remember if
Red Dawn, yeah, it was early there.
And if I don't know if it was Red Dawn that came out as PG and they were like, we need another rating. And then Indiana Jones was the first PG-13, or if Indiana Jones came out.
It wasn't the first. So Dreamscape is PG-13.
What? Maybe your version is. Did you watch an edit?
This was the second film released to movie theaters that was rated PG-13.
Well, IMDb is wrong. And if IMDb is wrong, then I don't want to be right, Scott.
But wait, this is wacky. I'm finding, was Dreamscape the first PG-13? They said, no, it was the second one. And then someone put, why is Dreamscape rated R? They said there was gore.
Was it, was the video release maybe PG-13? Like maybe it was released in the theaters as R? And
I'm curious.
And then...
But it said it was the second film in the theaters as PG-13.
Weird.
Let's spend a whole episode talking about this.
You know what's not debatable, Scott?
Yeah.
Dennis Quaid is in this movie. Max von Sydow is in this movie. Christopher Plummer.
He's a two-timer.
Speaking, maybe this is her stamp on films. The Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom star Kate Capshaw.
Oh.
She's PG-13 as far. George Wendt, good old Norm, and another Gleason. How many Gleasons are there? They're starting
a lot of Gleasons.
They're starting to be very. Are they like the original Baldwin brothers, the Gleasons, just taking over?
Meet the Gleasons. Oh, I'm gonna go on a whole sidetrack. I mean, you are right. Red Dawn and Temple of Doom are in the first PG-13, but this also is. There's a lot of discrepancies.
There is. We'll have to get our time machine running, and we'll fucking
Red Dawn, Temple of Doom.
We will solve this mystery. We go back in time. Well, look at this poster. I mean, that had to have been the same guy who did the Temple of Doom poster. Like, why was every poster in the mid 80s a dude in a leather jacket with a woman and a child hanging off of him?
Oh, man, that's just, yeah. You have to capture the excitement and adventure of a film in a poster back then. Dreamscape looks very Temple of Doom. You're absolutely right. He's got like a torch and it's Kate Capshaw on his arm. I mean, just put a fucking hat and a whip on him. It's Temple of Doom.
Or at least, what was the other one? What was the Indiana Jones knockoff? The librarian? He wasn't a...
Oh, Alan Quatermain and the Lost...
Yes.
I've never seen that. We should give that a watchy.
We should. We can do that on Wheel of Time Patreon, which will be on this feed still.
Hey. All right. Dreamscape.
Is this your first time watching Dreamscape, Scott?
Oh, no.
No, no, no. Tell me. Do tell.
I had watched it as a child, which is like pretty disturbing in the 80s. And then I did a rewatch, I think, a few years ago. I had to like, you know, from what you remember something as to see it, you see it much differently. But I want to hear your opinions on this. What I will say right now is, man, do I love the soundtrack? Do I love the music?
God.
It is. They are attempting. It is what, 1984? And they are, you know, they're trying to go ethereal, surreal, dream world. And it's a pretty kooky electronic soundtrack for 84. It's a little out there. I love it.
Scott, I love this movie. This movie is so like, it's just, we watched so many movies from the early 80s that didn't understand even what a movie was. You know, like, I don't know, just make it flashy. Like, it doesn't, there doesn't need to be a story.
My science project.
There doesn't need to be a story. This scene doesn't have to connect to that scene, like whatever. And obviously, you know, this movie has its issues. It's, you know, it's a product of its time in some sense, but it's kind of an exciting little movie. And they didn't, this is one of those movies like you can't make Inception without this movie. Like,
yeah,
this movie has no past to lean on. And so it's they're just like, I don't know, like snakes and
they do a good job creating surreal like dream landscapes with like the limited special effects they had at the time. There's some very creative choices, right? Like even when he goes like in the dream and the top of the building, it's got like a moving sky. It's definitely a little weird, surreal, like what they have to do to get those effects or the woman running with the bomb exploding in the back. It's very creative.
It is.
The music, they're going for something. They're going for something.
I mean, Dennis Quaid in short shorts, like you don't need special effects for that. That's real, baby.
It's everything you want in an 80s film. I mean, it's got the young person that's good at what he does, but like he doesn't like authority, but he's wasting his talents. And of course, the smart love interest that they shouldn't be together, a clear villain and a small thing. But then the stakes are high, right? Then it becomes about like saving the president of the United States and maybe someone from taking over the world. Like it gets, the stakes get high very quickly.
Yeah, this movie like starts off with the president having a nightmare. So we're like, holy shit, like we're going to the top. And then it just immediately scales all the way back to a drifter at the racetrack.
Yeah, getting chased by some shady dudes.
If you can win any race you want, why aren't you just paying people? It's all free money to you anyways. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, just...
You probably have Why is he not more rich than he is now?
Why is he hanging out in the same town dodging people that knows he has skills when he could just be like...
Just go to another town. Yeah, gamble.
He could just be driving around Nevada going to shitty little poker tables and cleaning up and living the life and using his skill. Oh, it ain't just gambling that he's got skills with, baby.
Oh, yeah. They're sure to have him go home and hear all these voicemails from women. We're over. And the next one is like, hey, it's me again. Call me.
Yeah. So is he doing that in the moment? Is he willing that? Or is he like, wait a minute, I thought I tricked her. Why is she mad at me? And then the next message, he's like, oh, okay, it worked.
I think we're needing to understand that he is using his skills as a womanizer, but like he's reading their minds and doing whatever they want or need.
Because you realize that one was...
That's helping him in the bedroom.
Like that was the same woman, right?
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because he got it, you know, he took care of her and she's back for more? I don't know.
He's got, oh my God. So he's at the track winning money. He's getting beat up on the way out by some people he owes money to because they know he's like a, you know, he was in the papers 10 years ago as the psychic boy. So everyone knows he has powers. Everyone wants a piece of it. He's hiding from the doctor, like not super hiding, but he's like he's laying low, but also winning a lot of money. So, of course, people are finding out that he's winning money and they want his cut. And is that the same people at the end of the movie?
Yeah, I thought so.
So the people that beat him up at the beginning are actually people that work at the track. So they're mad because they're track employees.
Or it's like mafia folks that like want in on it.
That also shovel horse shit on the weekends.
Yeah, it's unclear. You're right. They're mafiosos that work there, but like want some of the action.
Yeah. And so then he goes home, pretends to play the saxophone. And then on his way out, then the scientists send their thugs to get him because the scientists.
And he goes with them because the real thugs are out, found out where he lived.
Yeah. And so once he gets away, he's like, actually, I don't want to hang out with you scientists. You know, I got to go. And they're like, tough luck, buddy. You got in the car. We're doing this. And so they take him to his old scientist friend and, you know, they're real, some real classic 80s chummy dialogue. Like they may as well have been.
Well,
in a sauna,
he's treated like, you know, really weird by these guys. And then he gets put into a room and they're making him wait. And there's a two-way mirror and it shows that he's smart. And he writes, you know, I know you're there. And then they're like, oh, they know, we might as well go. And then she comes out to like talk to him. But then he ends up wandering and just finding the guy. And then it was also like, why did they put on that big show in the first place? Like, what point did that serve? Why did he not just talk to the Max von Sydow guy?
Yeah. There's a lot of unnecessary cloak and daggering going on.
Yeah, it was just to show that he knew that he's smart and he knows this business.
Which has nothing to do with telepathy to realize that that's a two-way mirror.
So he's psychic, but apparently he'd been poked and prodded. And so now, you know, he doesn't want to be their lab rat anymore. But the scientists used to work with him. They really want to bring him into this project because he's the best.
Yeah, they're like, we don't want to just study you. We actually need your help. But we're going to drag out what we need from you for the rest of this movie. So
yeah,
strap in. And I just want to point out before we get away from it, did you notice when they're chasing him around the horse track, the guy who's calling the race is kind of syncing up with their foot race?
No.
And he's coming around the corner. And he's got a little bit of a lead on the pack there. And then when he peels off out of the racetrack, I hope you had a great day at the track. Take care.
Creative choices.
So they're trying to settle him in, and Kate Capshaw's walking him around. They're like, let's let the pretty lady, or does he just chase her down? Like, this is a classic 80s, like, I'm just going to stay in this woman's peripheral until she fucks me kind of thing.
Yeah, he's pretty fresh at first.
Yeah, I mean, he is a 1984 Dennis Quaid. Like, you can only say no to that so many times.
It's not professional. So they pitch to him that they're doing this project to enter people's dreams and they need psychics. And then at first he says no. And then this guy that, like, you're not sure if he's like his friend or the enemy kind of blackmails him. It's like, well, you know, the IRS is out there. Now that we search for you, they're kind of going to get you unless you work with us. And then maybe not.
Again, a tab that could be paid with one trip to Vegas.
Yeah, he has endless money. He can make money however he needs.
Just how much do you just hit a roulette table, put it all on whatever's coming up next? I do want to say that this movie, you know, I'm enjoying this whole podcast thing, but I realize it's just, you know, it's just a ploy to get me to my real job, which is counting boners.
It's funny to see Dennis Quaid as the young wise ass.
It really, I always forget. I always think that I get him and what's his name confused sometimes. I want to say Michael Douglas, but it's not Michael Douglas. What's his name from Escape from L.A.?
Kurt Russell?
Yeah, I always think that it's Dennis Quaid. That Dennis Quaid seems like somebody that would have grown
very
up.
Very different guys.
But Dennis Quaid, if you found out Dennis Quaid grew up in the Disney system, you wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I was with Kurt Russell, actually.
Yeah, it's more shocking with Kurt Russell
than
it would have been with Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, agreed.
So to warm up, so just to kind of like, I put down a note in here from a different movie, but something that I wanted to discuss with you. So since I'm here in my notes, I guess I'll discuss it with you. Did you know that I think you've tried to tell me this before and I've called you a fucking liar. And so I'm here to apologize to you that Masters of the Universe is in fact a time travel movie.
Oh, I don't know if we did discuss this.
It is the last 90 seconds of the movie is a time travel movie when they send Courtney Cox back in time 2 weeks to when her parents were still alive so she can see.
Oh.
At the very, very end, they're like, okay, you can go home now. And she goes home and she goes home. So if you want to check out Masters of the Universe, check out Movies Are Us podcast. That's a free one, folks. Go check out Movies Are Us. We're discussing Masters of the Universe and the fact that it... I didn't think any time travel movie could have less time travel than Galaxy Quest, but Masters of the Universe is officially a time travel movie that has less time travel than Galaxy Quest, if you can imagine. Now Scott's looking at... He's like, wait, Galaxy Quest has time travel? Yeah, it does. All right.
All right, so they bring him in the project. He sleeps there on the campus, and he wanders around at night, and he sees they have someone going into a kid's nightmare, and the heart rates go up, and it's kind of crazy, and I guess they wake up, and the kid is like, oh, man, that was an awful dream, and the fucking guy is, like, in a stunned coma being taken away, and for some reason, Dennis Quaid is not, like, that worried or concerned.
Yeah, he's very just into this. He know, I mean, he's a psychic, so he's nonplussed by just about everything going on here.
Oh, and then now the best part of the film is we start running into a new person. When he goes back to his room, someone's playing on his saxophone and is a little personal and a bit of a dick. And it is this guy that is not just the bad guy in so many 80s films, but he's always like the creepy, psychotic guy. Like he always plays, he's the bad, I say to everybody, he's the bad guy in the Warriors. That's the most well-known.
Oh, really?
That's the most well-known, but he, let me see, what else? He's in so many things, and this guy never plays a leading man. This guy.
The last, like, he's been in a lot. The guy works his ass off, but the last kind of big thing he was on, which, you know, if anyone knows how to hire a creep, he was on the new Twin Peaks season
in
2017, so I bet.
Of course.
Yeah, I bet he's a real creep. Oh, he's in the Black, he's on 4 episodes of The Blacklist. I'm gonna check that out.
Wait, I want to see more about this guy.
Yeah.
All right, it's Luther, right? So David Patrick Kelly, is that him?
Yeah.
All right, David Patrick Kelly. What else has he been in?
Of course, his character has 3 names too. He's such a fucking serial killer. How is he not in more known stuff?
Oh, he was in Commando? Oh, The Crow, of course.
Oh, he was in the original Twin Peaks movie too.
He's like the weird neighbor in Crooklyn. That's right.
The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
The Crow. But he's always like the creepiest bad guy. Oh, he was in John Wick. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a more successful actor. I mean, this guy's definitely paying the bills. Like, he doesn't need any... Anyways, stay tuned for our DPK podcast coming.
That's worth its own podcast.
That is. He's... Yeah. Someone... Quentin Tarantino, get in touch with DPK. And resurrect that man's career. He deserves to be in better shit. So everyone out there, it is rude to play another man's instrument under any circumstance without permission. It is fucking disgusting to play any man's reed instrument under any circumstances, whether you have permission or not. Never put a reed instrument in your fucking mouth that isn't yours, you sick fuck. There we go. That's my public service announcement.
He's a fucking psycho. He goes in the dreams, but he's like jealous. He's like, no, he's like teacher's pet. Anyway, he's our antagonist. Well, there's 2 antagonists, right? He's the like hired soldier. And what we don't know is the guy who runs the program for the government is, you know, secretly the true antagonist of the film. He introduces himself to our hero just to let him know he's running the program and he wants him to play ball. We're enough to suspect that he's not great.
So Tommy Ray killed his dad in his dream, right?
Yeah. Oh, he killed his dad for real, I thought.
It doesn't say so, but how else would they be like, oh, maybe this is a thing if Tommy Ray didn't accidentally do it? And then, or, you know, was he just an orphan and the main scientist? Which one is the Max von Sydow? Is it Max von Sydow or Christopher Plummer's the good
guy? Christopher Plummer, yes.
He's the bad guy. Yeah, and
Bob Blair is the government guy. Yeah,
yeah, and Max von Sydow is the okay guy. And then George Wendt, is he is he just a journalist? I forget what he or
yeah, he's like
oh
a
no
secret.
No, he's a writer. He's writing a book. He's doing so. He yeah, he's doing research. He's Stephen King, doing research for his new book. Why would you need like if you just know that something like this exists? Or you think something like this might exist, that's all you need to write a book. Like, you don't need to spend 6 months sneaking into hospitals to get more information. Like, once you're like, oh, people can go into dreams and kill each other. All right, there's a bestseller. Anyways, he hangs around until he gets himself killed. Good job.
Good job.
I have the score is amazing again. So, as you can imagine, so Dennis Quaid helps. So, there's the kid that he sneaks in and sees Tommy Ray with. He talks to Kate Capshaw and talks to the kid and decide and he tells Christopher Plummer, like, you know, I'm either going to help this kid or I'm out of the project. Like, if we're not.
Yeah. All of a sudden he goes from like this guy that just cares about himself. Obviously, they're trying to show he's got a heart. He talks to this kid for a second. It's such a Hallmark movie moment. He's like, hey, you don't know me. I'm a stranger. But hey, you know, I was like you. I was like, I had problems as a kid. If you need someone to talk to, you could talk to me. Gee, thanks, mister. And then he becomes like, yeah, overnight. He talks to this kid 5 minutes and he's like, oh, if you don't let me help this kid, I'm off the project.
Totally.
Max von Sydow's like, you're a bastard, but okay.
And this kid had a nice little career too. What?
Yeah, he looked familiar. Is that the kid with Scraps in Airplane?
Thing?
Maybe not.
Oh, him and Norm are reunited in an episode of Cheers.
Norm's like, you got to get this kid in. He's got talent.
He's got chops. That's weird. I swear I recognized him from like 10 camp movies, but must be another freckled boy they put. Because I think he's actually in a wheelchair. I think that's why. Because his name is Bumpers. And I think his nickname is Bumpers from bumping into shit with his wheelchair. Because we were real class. We were very classy. In the 80s, everybody. So like Scott says, he Dennis Quaid drops the ultimatum and they go into this kid's dream. And he's like there were, this is when he basically finds out, like, if you die or no, they've lost. There's a third guy. So there's Tommy Ray, there's Dennis Quaid, and there's a third guy we never get to meet, but his brain got fried from
in the kid's nightmare
from trying to do this.
So yeah, our hero goes in and it's a creepy nightmare and the dad doesn't help. And apparently there's a snake lizard man.
And Dennis Quaid doesn't make any comments about him being afraid of snakes.
Well, I think he was only after the dream. I think the dream got him.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The dream got him too. And that's, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, he goes in there and everything works out perfect. They get scared. Dennis Quaid is pretty scared of the snake man. But in the end, he holds the snake man down and the kid has the courage to chop the snake man into bits and mission accomplished. But then a few days later, Dennis Quaid is sketching and creepy guy notices and puts that one in the arsenal. All along, the president's having really bad dreams. And his little buddy, Christopher Plummer, is like talking to him. And the president's like, you know, I think this means I got to take down all the nuclear war. I got to take down all the nuclear weapons. And his buddy's like, oh, no, why don't you come to the, let's fix your dreams.
What is Christopher Plummer's
job?
Yeah, like, why is he so concerned with keeping...
He's like security, like defense? Like, is he the head of defense or something?
Yeah, I think he's just...
He's mysterious government military guy.
I guess that is very concerned about...
They never clarify. We do find out that the creepy person has been under that guy's payroll. We find out the creepy guy has killed his dad and that Christopher Plummer...
So yeah. You know what, Scott? So that means that Max von Sydow voted for Carter and Christopher Plummer voted for Reagan.
Yeah.
If you're paying attention, man, you got to really pay attention to these movies, Scott. They got a message.
By the way, folks, Christopher Plummer was in Somewhere in Time. I mean, this is not time travel, but for what that's worth. Max von Sydow, he's in something else. Oh, he's in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which is not really time, but
that's on the Galaxy Quest level of time.
Oh, wait,
they do, because
he's not on Bogus Journey. Max von Sydow's in something else, though. Time travel, isn't he?
He's been in a few movies.
He pops over.
There's no way he hasn't been in another time travel movie.
Yeah. Anyhow, so our hero also is pursuing this lady friend. I'm trying to remember how she rejects him at first. And then one day, he thinks she's sleeping in her office because she works so hard. And this is a thing that would not be okay today. He lies down in the room next to her. The point of, if a psychic's good enough, he doesn't need their machine to enter people's dreams. And then he enters her dream, and they have a pretty hot and steamy, sexy time in the dream. And then she wakes up, and she's pissed, but only in like an 80s way. In a like, that wasn't okay, but yeah, it was pretty hot, as opposed to now, where it's like, that was rape, and I'm taking you to court.
In a very, very Revenge of the Nerds kind of way.
Yeah. What a weird case that would be in court. Didn't actually do anything physical. Entered her dreams. Didn't force her, I guess, but...
It's on purpose, though.
It's a violation. Purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mental psychic sexual violation that has no physical touch involved, but it's like you got to experience it in this dream world. I wouldn't want to be the judge for this one. Your Honor, no physical touch actually happened. Where is the guilt? Where's the assault?
She's only left.
She wasn't forced. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm going to be long dead before they have to judiciate such nonsense in the court.
So anyway, she is upset, rightly so. But then at the end of the conversation, I think he's kind of like, but it was kind of hot, wasn't it? She's like, yeah, kind of.
And he gets her with science by saying, like, you realize I did that without a machine.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah. Shit.
What a way to distract. I just violated you. But I, you know, I did it without the machine. Ooh.
But I violated you, but I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
Like, so.
So bad guy goes in a dream with someone he's trying to help out. That person dies, and the creepy bad guy comes up kind of smiling. And so Dennis Quaid is, you know, thinking he did this on purpose. He's a psycho. He looks up and finds out that he killed his dad. I'm trying to find out what point he realized Bob Blair is out to get the president.
It's pretty late. Like, because he's realized. Because I don't know.
Oh, I think he tells him. I think Bob Blair is like, I need you on board. Here's what's going down.
But he doesn't say to kill the... I don't think he finds out that it's to kill the president until very late in the movie. I think he finds...
When Bob Blair takes him in that car ride, and then he jumps out of the car and he's on the run.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, that's right. Which happens pretty... I keep thinking we're farther away from that scene than we are. But that is the titular... let me see. Oh, the sex scene is about the 1 hour mark. So yeah, it starts to, everything just really goes in to fast forward now. Now, because they've been kind of burying the lead, and now like everything gets out on the table. Christopher Plummer knows what, or Max von Sydow knows what Christopher Plummer's doing. Christopher Plummer needs, you know, Dennis Quaid to either be okay with what's going on. Because now I think what Dennis Quaid does, I don't know if Dennis Quaid knows they're going to kill the president yet, but he knows that Tommy Ray is a murderer. And so he's like, okay, why are you working with this known murderer? He's obviously, you know,
yeah,
not on the up and up level, which means you guys aren't on the up and up level. So what's going on? And he's just like, we're going to kill the president, and you either are okay with it or we're going to kill you too.
Yeah. And at this point, the president is kind of at the lab. They brought him in. They're trying to help him and send someone in there.
They're going to count his boners.
Anyway, Dennis Quaid escapes the car. He just like lets himself out and rolls with it and goes on the run. He lets Kate Capshaw know.
Which on the level of like how he helped Bumpers, how are you going to help the president? How are you going to, like,
I don't know.
Like, the president is thermonuclear war is erupting on the entire planet. And, you know, I in the dream, like, that's something where that needs to be discussed in the waking light, that it's just a dream, Mr. President. I know it sucks. I know it's anxiety producing, but you're an adult and you didn't actually destroy the planet. And somewhere in here, too. So that's right. It's George Wendt that gets Dennis Quaid really thinking. It's fine because...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he tells him. Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah.
He tells him. And even Dennis Quaid is still just like, I don't know. But then a bunch of suits start to chase them, and then they kill George Wendt. And so now that Dennis Quaid is like, okay, they're willing to murder to keep this quiet, this is not just about dreams. And so that's when all the dicks get laid out on the table. And then Dennis Quaid, of course, jumps out of the car, which he threatens to do earlier in the movie. So we know he's not above jumping out a moving car. And he steals a kid's dirt bike because it's the 80s and everyone had a dirt bike. And it's pit. Oh, that's right. It's pitch black. He drives the dirt bike around all night, I guess. And then who does he call? Does he call Max von Sydow from the...
No, Max von Sydow has been confronting the guy about the president, too. And we find out later he got killed a little bit.
Oh.
He got a little bit killed.
Did he get a little bit killed?
Yeah, remember they end up seeing him in, like, the bottom of a car, the trunk of a car or something later.
Oh, right. I don't think we know that yet.
We don't. But he confronts the guy and walks out of the room.
Who's he talking to in the phone booth when the phone booth gets...
He calls Kate Capshaw.
Is it Kate? Okay.
Yeah. And she says, come in through the back... This highly secure place. He's like, come in through the back entrance. I'll leave the door open. So he gets in there and then he's like, I got to rescue the president. And so he's able to go into the dream, and also creepy guy is there to kill the president. And so now we've got a fun, pretty trippy sequence. Oh, wait, we got to pause, Des. We have not gone over the weird married couple sequence earlier in the film.
Wow. Back up they're the train.
He's just the nerdiest guy. And apparently they're having problem in the bedroom, and he goes into his dream and there's like this really quirky music, like quirky accordion. He's like, you can't trust women. You go in the front. We're going to catch her sleeping with someone else. And it's like wacky and sad.
His wife. And we don't even know if his wife's actually cheating. This guy might just be.
Right. Yeah.
You know, a wiener that is afraid his wife's cheating on him. And yeah. And it's total. This is the dreamiest of all. Like, this is like, I don't necessarily have dreams about, you know, a pack of golfers fucking my wife. But like, as far as like everything being there, there's, you know, there's the priest. There's his kids. There's his wife. There's his golfing buddies. There's his, like, oh, like, I don't know about you, but like my dreams, that's when my dreams get the weirdest, is when it's like, if I really think about it, they're not that weird, because it's like, oh, I was just talking to Scott about that 2 days ago. And I did just talk to Kelly about that yesterday. And I did just watch a movie about this. And I did, you know, and it's like, okay, yeah, all those things happen separately. But when you see them in one dream, they get really weird.
Anyway, that was a kooky scene. But so we forgot about that one. But he's like, yeah, it's like carnival music. They're totally making fun of this guy. And then
yeah,
even after. That was while he's like earning his stripes going into dreams. I think it's before he helps the kid out.
That was just like, this isn't a real thing. And that guy was like, it was like he was on the fence of like, okay, do we count this guy's boners or do we send Dennis Quaid in? Because he could have been, it could have been an inadequate sexual situation that was making that guy feel that way.
Yeah.
But they sent Dennis Quaid in anyways, instead of, I mean, Kate Capshaw might have been awake counting boners also, but she was counting Dennis Quaid's boners.
All right. So now he's going in the president's dream, a very trippy sequence. It's on a train. The skies are red. Like it's well done for the year that this happened, right?
Absolutely.
All the dream sequences. We didn't talk about either, but this first going into a dream, he tries to help a guy on a construction site and he falls to his death and it's trippy. And it's all very psychedelic and surreal. And anyway, they're on a train and they're fighting this guy. And I think he ends up turning them all into zombies that are all like out to get the guy and the president. And it's kind of like a Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. So Tommy Ray is a pro at this. And he's like Leonardo DiCaprio level. He knows that he can make shit happen if he needs to. So he, you know, he creates to get at the president. He creates a bunch of zombies that have been created due to the apocalypse of the president's doing. You know, they're all irradiated zombies. And so they start chasing the president. Dennis Quaid gets him out. And then so he decides to take a different tactic and he goes after Dennis Quaid with the snake.
Yeah, he becomes the creepy snake man just to get, because Dennis Quaid has a new fear now.
Just to add to the Indiana Jones lore, like how did we not get why did it have to be snakes?
How did he end up killing the snake? Oh, yeah. Then Dennis Quaid tries to be his father and it's distracting. And then I think the president comes and gets him.
No, then Tommy Ray turns into half Tommy, half snake.
Yeah.
Like he kind of melts out of the snake, but he's still little snakey. And he's going, Daddy, daddy. And then the president, because that's one of the big things in this movie, too, is that Dennis Quaid can help, but the dreamer has to slay the dragon. And even though Tommy Rae is, you know, manipulating the dream as well, in this version of the dream, Tommy Rae is the dragon. And so the president gets to slay him so he can sleep at night.
Right. We do find out when he goes into the president, he's like, hey, man, you got to wake up. They're trying to kill you. He's like, I'm deeply sedated. He's like, all right, we got to ride this out.
Who does? Oh, yeah. They send in at the beginning of the dream. They, you know, basically the president, you know, a cop comes in to fix it, and Alex rips his fucking heart out. What is, before this all starts, so they know that Tommy is going into the president's dream. Why does Dennis Quaid stand on the desk and put his hands on the ceiling?
Which part?
Before Dennis Quaid goes to sleep and gets in the president's dream, he stands on the table and puts his hands on the ceiling as if he's going to get into the dream that way, and then gets frustrated and lays down. And then meditates into the dream the way we know he has to.
Oh, I don't remember that. That's
all the time.
That's unusual. That's a.
It was just such a like he's trying to get a reading on the president, but it's like, you know what room the president's in, and you know you have to at least be relaxed. You might not have to be hooked up to the machine, but you gotta breathe and chill and prepare. So I don't know.
Huh. That's strange.
Did the snake remind you of Clash of the Titans at all?
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, that was the best they could do back then. Anyway, he rescues the president. I think the president has Christopher Plummer taken. And then they find out Max von Sydow is dead, unfortunately, in all the adventure. But he gets barely a moment of like, oh, that sucks. And they move on. And the film ends with a little nod of the two of our hero, the Kate Capshaw and Dennis Quaid, going on a train to relive. They're like, I guess they haven't maybe had sex yet, or they're reliving the sex fantasy in the dream. But the guy that takes their tickets is actually the guy that was in the dream, which leaves you with a...
What dream was he in? I know he was from a dream, but what dream was he in?
When they had their sex dream on the train, he was the ticket taker on that.
Oh, I forget they were on a train the first time, too. Oh.
I think that's why they're, unless he was the ticket taker on the train with the president, but I think he was in the sex dream.
Yeah, because it was a cop. It was a heavier set cop.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
On that train. Oh, so you realize that this train is the spinning top of Inception's dreamscape.
A little bit, right?
It goes off into the sunset. And you're like, is it? Was it all a dream? Is it not? Is this a dream? Are they just, I mean, they can totally inception it. They can just stay at home and go fuck on all kinds of conveyances if they want in their dream.
Yeah, that's their little moment of, is the, was it real? Yeah,
and then when she inevitably gets tired of me, we've never even actually had sex. So she just Kate Capshaw her way out of here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I was so glad you knew who the ticket taker was, because I was like, I know he's fucking somebody, but.
You're welcome. Anyway, this is everything you want from an 80s movie. It's got the creativity and the surrealness of the dream world. But, you know, our hero, good at what he does, but, you know, he says no to the job, but he's got a heart of gold, wants to help the kid, ends up saving the president and the world. Getting the woman that's like really smart and tries to resist him, but his charm and his heart for the boy wins her over. It's all the things.
Sorry, I'm getting a good look at this ticket taker during the look up. Oh yeah, that's him.
There it is. That's where they get the whole, that's where they get the, is this real or is it a dream?
It was so funny too, when they first got on the train, I was like, don't start fucking yet. They haven't taken your tickets. You're just going to get interrupted. And then so the ticket taker showed up. I was like, oh, thank God they can get their tickets punched and lock that door and they're good to go. And then
I'm glad you were concerned for them.
And then it got weird. Yay, you know the most dangerous thing I've done in a train car?
What's that?
Whippets.
Well, that's pretty good.
I only took a sleeper car. Well, I've taken a sleeper car two times in my life, but I took a train between here and Montana a couple of times. And one time I was finally like, fuck it, I want a sleeper car. I bought this is the late 90s, early aughts. Like, you guys have no idea how good you have it. I bought a screen for my Xbox that clipped on the top of my Xbox and flipped up like a shitty laptop. It was must have been like this. Like, everyone out there, I'm doing the old director's trick where I'm making a screen and my thumb and finger are touching. And I'm pretty sure that's how big this video game screen was on this. And I used it mostly just to watch Family Guy DVDs, so it was fine. But I hooked that Xbox up into my sleeper car and did whip it.
That's a night out. That's going to be made into a motion picture this summer.
Are you a nightmare guy, Scott? Do you have nightmares?
Not particularly, not often. I'm more of stress dreams than nightmares.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I have anxiety dreams and wake up a little feeling a little unrested, but I never wake up in fear.
Yeah.
Full blown.
No, but if you look at it's funny, if we were to do another podcast, there's not a lot in the dream realm of films. I was trying to think about that. It's like you said, Inception didn't exist without this film. But like Nightmare on Elm Street, Dreamscape, Inception, those are the big dogs. There's some other dream movies, but not a lot. We're now at a point where there's a lot more time travel than dream films.
There's a lot of time travel movies that end with a question mark. This movie, speaking of other podcasts, this movie would have qualified for Rotten Popcorn. The critics really liked this movie. The audience has gone on to not like it very much.
Oh.
One star. Dreamscape is a disappointing film. It is about to help people who experience recurring nightmares. Dennis Quaid and Kate Capshaw give horrible performances. This screenplay is badly written. Joseph Rubin did a terrible job directing this movie. I was not impressed with this motion picture.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, here's a good review. Here's a 3.5 stars. Somehow, .. This was pretty good. ..
That's it.
That's it. ..
Wow, that person needs a new career as a film reviewer.
I can only think of two decent movies that Dennis Quaid has done. This is not one of them.
Oh.
cheesy acting, plot, effects infect the whole movie. Is just full of cheese.
Oh
yeah, how everything he just said is a 10-star review. I'm trying to think of the one. Oh, you're a half star. I wish you could give no stars. Indiana Jones ripoff.
Oh wow, all right, you're not the only one. That's good to know.
1.5 stars. I'm doing this because no one's ever done it before. No one's ever conceived it.
Oh, the movie, the plot.
I don't know. I just read you the entire review.
Yeah.
You decide what he's talking about. The story lacked credibility. I don't know about you, buddy. Lacked credibility. Welcome to Hollywood. All fake. No one gets any credit ever. All right, Scott. The real question.
Yeah.
What time is Dreamscape?
That's a tough one. It's a fun, it's not going to revolutionize the world, but I got to give them credit for the creativity. It's got some rewatchability.
I think this rewrote everything we know about film, Scott. Once you can go into dreams on purpose, what can't you do?
I mean, I this is again where I need to see the other scores. I'm leaning toward around the 630 zone, but I don't know if this should be more than like Happy Death Day or anything like that, or at least maybe on par. What are you going
to
do?
You don't get to see that. I'm going to go pretty high. It's a hidden gem. I've never seen this movie before. You know, a 1984 movie that I've never seen, that I enjoyed, that has, you know, time pop-ish elements to it. It has Dennis Quaid. Kate Capshaw is great in this. Like, she, you know, you always, great is a stretch, but like, compared to Indiana Jones, she was a pleasure to listen to in this movie.
Okay.
Max von Sydow, Christopher Plummer, George Wendt, like, sign me up. I'm going to go 830.
Wow. All right. I was going to go, I want to do 6:30, but I don't know if I have anything in that slot. If I need to adjust. Do I need to adjust?
Let's see. I probably have an 8:30 myself. I'm probably going to have to figure out what this is right above or right below. So I keep forgetting that on our when I look at our ratings, I forget that our Patreon ratings are on a different page. So I'm not going to do all of them. I'm just going to tell you what's around it. I am getting old. I need new glasses. Let's see. What's in your... Oh, Totally Killer is 6:30 on the dot. 57 Seconds is 6 o'clock. Happy Death Day to You is 7:15. Doctor Who is 6 o'clock.
All right.
So you got Totally Killer at 6:30. Is this...
Let's do 6:40.
Better than Totally Killer.
I don't know. I'm on the fence about that, but it's fine.
Let's see. Now, let me see real quick on our Patreon ones. You have it 6:10. You have Idiocracy at 6:10. Everything Everywhere All at Once at 7:20.
Yeah.
That all lines up pretty good.
Yeah, I feel good.
8:30, I have Run Lola Run at 8:30. And I have Scrooged at 8:30. Bodies at 8:45. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go 8:20.
All right.
8:20. There we go. Dreamscape.
There it is.
Another almost 2-hour disparity. But yeah, if I had seen this movie before, I might be a little over it and just be like, yeah, there it is again. But this really tickled me right where I needed to be tickled. I've watched a lot of 80s movies in the last 2 weeks, and they're all... I watched Dune. I enjoyed this so much more than Dune.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to.
I...
Not enjoyed.
I really tried. I get what Dune is going for. I want to give it credit for trying.
You mean the new one or the old one?
The old one.
Yeah, no, there was a bunch of issues. The old one. They didn't want him to make a 3-hour film, and he had to like condense everything, and it makes it so rushed and weird, and they have to do voiceovers to move the story along. But there's reasons why it's bad.
Yeah, no, there is. I thought that there was enough there, you know, just be like, yeah, but they went for it and they didn't get there. But I'm going to give them credit for trying. But and it's one of those things, too, where it without the new Dunes, I probably rate old Dune higher. But now that I've seen that you could have done it right, it's like, no, you guys. And it wasn't David Lynch's problem. That was not a top down problem. That was a top level period. The bean counters just said no. And everyone below fucking suffered, including the viewer.
Yeah.
All right. And that's my Dune cast. Everyone, Patreons, thank you so much for watching Dreamscape with us. I hope you watched it. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you, loyal patrons. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors where they can get more Time Pop. Lots more Time Pop.
Thanks for patronizing us.
Patronize you anytime, Scott.
We have a new boner podcast.
Oh, it's all the episodes of Growing Pains that Boner was on.
We can talk about old men with boners.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.